And John said in Revelation 16, 13, and I saw three unclean frogs or spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, the unholy.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Unholy Trinity, the First Beast. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Unholy Trinity, the First Beast.
The difference between this and the first, number one, is that in number one, he fakes his death, right? He fakes his death. And then he comes back like he rose from the dead. But in number three, some people believe that he will actually be killed and resurrected again. And then some people believe that verse three refers to the resurrection of Judas Iscariot, because Judas is called the son of perdition, and also Satan is called the son of perdition. So we see here that this first beast receives a deadly blow. All right. We see the influence of the beast. And in Revelation, verse 4, and they worship the dragon. So we're back to the dragon again. Who is the dragon? The dragon is Satan. And they worship the dragon who gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Unlike Christ, who is worshiped for his holiness, his righteousness, his love, and his mercy, the Antichrist is worshiped for his miraculous power, invincibility, and deceit. Right? That's why he, you know, Christ, why do you worship Christ? You worship Christ because he's holy. God, you are holy. God, you are righteous. God, you love us. God, you are merciful. God, you are gracious. That's why we worship Christ. But look, people will worship the Antichrist because they're afraid of him. Because of his power, because nobody can conquer him, because he goes forth to deceive people. And saints, this spirit is already in the world. You know, we worship evil. You know, again, I told you last week that if you're not on Alan Parr's weekly video distribution, you need to get on that. Again, the ignorant, we don't want you to be ignorant, brother. Brother Alan Parr, I don't know, he's got millions of followers. You know, let me put it this way. He got a lot of followers. Now, it may be millions or it may be hundreds of thousands, I'm not sure, but he got a bunch. Brother Alan Parr has a bunch of followers. And you know the thing about Alan is that, you know where he grew up? You know what church he grew up in? Some of y'all know. Some of y'all know. He grew up in Bethany Baptist Church, right? He grew up in Bethany Baptist Church. And now he's out there. He's impacting the world with his teachings, right? And he did a teaching a couple months ago on Beyonce. And man, saints, if you haven't seen that video, you need to go back and see the video. Because this is the spirit that's in the world today. This is the spirit in which the Antichrist will operate in. And just think, man, I mean, the world is in love with Beyonce, you know? And, you know, she sang the song. I don't know a lot of Beyonce songs, right? But the one song I know, if you love me, you better put a ring on it, you know? There's some good theology in that one right there, right? You know, she should have sang more songs like that. But, you know, this spirit of Antichrist is in the world today. my wife keeps telling me, now, I didn't notice it. If you watch the halftime at the Super Bowl, when Rihanna sang, they said that she made a couple of lewd gestures that, unless I guess you were looking for it, that you would have missed it. Everybody else, man, you watch the reviews the next day, and they said that, wow, she was great. Great, great halftime show. But nobody is talking about, those gestures that she made, those ungodly gestures that she made. And so, oh my goodness. Man, we worship the singers. We worship them. We bow down and we see these deceptive things that are taking place. And people's hearts are after them. The young people's hearts are after them. Now I know here goes somebody. I already hear somebody saying it, right? Come on, Pastor Glaze, man, leave Beyonce and Rihanna alone. Leave them alone, right? And you know what? I really could, but they're just influencing so many people. And that's and not influencing them in a godly way, right? I mean, now they might be doing some good things, but there's a whole lot of deception that's going on there too. So again, I implore you, look at the video that Alan put out where he's dealing with the facts, right? He's dealing with the facts of what this is about. And saints, this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Somebody asked a question, is the Antichrist here? Well, I don't know if the Antichrist is here, not or yet, but the spirit of the Antichrist is definitely here. And it's been around since John's day. The spirit of the Antichrist is definitely here. So, if you get the notes, the outline of the booklet that I put together on the Antichrist, in there we talk about who are some possibilities that could be the Antichrist. Is the Antichrist Jewish? Is he Muslim? Is he Gentile? Have there been people in the past that could have been the anti? So I deal with all that in the book. So you want to get through, and it's free. The book is free. It will be sent to you via email. Now, for those of you who want the hard copy of it, there may be a little charge for that. And that's just for, having to mail it out. But if you get it emailed to you, it's absolutely free. Because why? I'm trying to get this word out, man. I remember when I went to Africa, and Andre Cassell, was over there, and he told me something that I'll never forget. He said that, Muslims over there, he said they got all kind of literature and books. And he said that the Muslims give it out for free, because they want to indoctrinate people. And he said that, all these groups from America, that have books and tracts and all this stuff, he said that, that they're copyrighted, and we got to try to get money to purchase them, to hand them out. And he says just sometimes it becomes very, very difficult. And I never forget that. And I said, I said, Lord, I said, as much as possible, the stuff that I make, I get people calling me, Pastor Glaze, can I make a copy of something in your book and pass it out, right? Which I tell them, now, some people get mad at me now, right? But I tell them, I don't have a problem with that. Go ahead. Why? Because I'm interested in getting out the information. So even the notes that I send out, if you want to make a copy of the notes and you want to send them out to somebody else, I have no problem with that, because I just want to get the information out. I want people to be able to, again, to not be a part of the denomination of the ignorant brethren, right? And so, again, now I know that there's copyright laws. I understand all that. So, I respect the copyright laws. I'm just saying, as far as my stuff is concerned, that if somebody asked me, can they make copies of it? I have no problem with it. You know, now see, I'm probably really going to get in trouble now, but if you want to make a copy of the whole book, you know, that's fine. You know, they say, well, you wrote that, man. You supposed to be making money off of it. Well, yeah, I mean, if I can make money to pay for the books that I ran off, right, or that we had printed, praise God. But I would rather for you to have the information than for me to get some money to pay the printer, right? I'll take the hit on the printer because I want you to have the information. All right. How did I get off on that, man? You, Pastor Glaze, you done jumped off here, right? But yeah, so you know, the thing is that we want you to have the information, and because you know, there's just a lot that's out here in this world today. The spirit of the Antichrist is already here. It's already here, saints. And you know, you have to, I did a devotion, right? It hasn't been published yet. And I told you, man, I like the Lone Ranger, right? And so I was watching the Lone Ranger one day. Now check, this is powerful. This is a powerful illustration, right? And there was the Lone Ranger and Tonto and the sheriff, and they were chasing some crooks, right? And they were following their tracks. And all of a sudden their tracks disappeared. And the Lone Ranger and Tonto and the sheriff, they didn't know where these crooks went to. And Tonto got off his horse and he saw a broken branch on a bush. And he examined it and he said, Kemosabe, they went this way, right? And the sheriff was like, man, how in the world does he do that? How does he do that? And the Lone Ranger said, Tonto has been trained to see signs that the average person misses. Mic drop. Tonto has been trained to see signs that the average person misses. That should be the testimony of every Christian. We should be able to see, we should have discernment, and we should be able to see signs that the world can't see. Notice what it says here on this slide that I have up. The Antichrist is worshiped for his miraculous power, invincibility, and what? His deceit. He deceives people. You know, we as Christians should not be caught up in this deceit and this deception, that we should be like Tonto. We should be trained to see the signs that the average person misses, right? Oh man, yeah. Why y'all get me started this afternoon? Why you get me started this afternoon? We see the blasphemy of the beast. The blasphemy of the beast. Let me do something here. In Revelation 13:6, and it says, and he opened his mouth. Well, let's go back. Verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. The Antichrist will be blasphemous. What are the objects of his blasphemy? First of all, God. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. Against God in the Greek is pros ton theon, and it means face to face. The beast will blaspheme God to his face. The beast will ball his fists up, shake his hand in the air, and blaspheme God face to face, right? He not only blasphemes God, but he also blasphemes God's name, all that God stands for, right? All that God stands for. If you look at the world today, everything that's righteous and holy is being undercut, right? It's being blasphemed. You know, people tell these young people today that there's something wrong with you if you're a virgin, right? All that God stands for is blasphemous. There's something wrong with you if you haven't got high, right? There's something wrong with you if I remember a guy told my son one time, you know, because my son had was driving my wife's vehicle, and he backed into he backed into a tree, and he knocked out the window, right? And he was talking to this one guy, and the guy would say, "Man, if you turn that in, it's going to shoot up your insurance." You know, he said, just tell him. He told my son, just tell the insurance company that that somebody hit you, and then they'll pay for it. Right? Come on, man. Blasphemy of what's right. You know, trying to get young people to lie and tell lies. You know, blaspheme God, all that God stands for. That's what the Antichrist will do. The tabernacle, which is what? God's place of worship. The inhabitants of heaven, the angels and the redeemed, you know, that the Antichrist will blaspheme, you know, the redeemed, make fun of you and make fun of me, right? Because that's what he does. Look at the victory of the Antichrist, the victory of the first beast, 7 and 8. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, remember, what did I tell you earlier? I told you that what is the objective of the Antichrist? Power, control. He wants to control. And so, you know, we have to be careful when these entities, you know, because they're trying to, you know, even in the church, you know, they're trying to, you know, control, right? They want to control. You know, you may remember a couple of years ago in Houston that the mayor, you know, so wanted to subpoena all the sermons of the pastors in Houston to make sure that they weren't preaching anything against, you know, homosexuality or, you know, anything that was against what they believed, right? And so they subpoenaed all the pastor's sermons, but the pastors came together and they stood up and they fought it, and the mayor had to back down off of that, right? But what was that about? That's about control. And what is the Antichrist about? Man, come on now, plain and simple. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power, control, was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the earth. The beast will be given power over all the earth. He will persecute the saints to the point of death. He will hold all political power. And in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 3 tells us that he will hold all political power. He'll hold all religious power. So in a couple of weeks, we're going to look at this and see how that the Antichrist will take control of religion and religious entities will not have a voice, because he will take control of it. Once again, we see the inhabitants of the earth worshiping the beast. We see them worshiping, which is the, you know, again, what is the ultimate objective of the Antichrist? Well, just like Christ receives worship, the Antichrist wants to receive worship also. And so, you know, the beast has victory here on this earth. Let me see here. And John closes out with a warning. in verses 9 and 10. If any man hath an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth to captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints, right? And so a warning. You remember that that old TV program, Lost in Space? Warning, right? So here's a warning. Those who follow the beast will reap the consequences of the punishment they have inflicted on others. If they have taken saints into captivity, they will be taken into captivity. If they have killed the saints with the sword, they will be killed with the sword. At the end of verse 10 is an admonition for the saints to be faithful and patient during the time of persecution. Hey, you know what? Just, you know, the beautiful thing about Revelation is all you got to do is go to the end of the book and read it, and you see who wins, right? You see who wins. And so, you know, we just have to be patient that we might, you know, and again, you know, we're going to be out of here, right? Because the rapture is going to take place, so we'll be gone. But those saints that will be here, he says, be patient and faith. Don't lose faith. Keep the faith, because it'll soon be over. You know, I'm in my study, and I'll say this and I'll be done. I was preaching at a revival out in New Mexico, and a guy gave me a little sign, and I got it hanging right in front of me, and it's a picture of a cat, and the cat is holding on to a pole or a board or something. And he looks like he's holding on for dear life. And the caption on there says, hang in there. It'll soon be over, right? And so that's what God is telling these saints. Hang in there. It's going to be over. You know, that you might be going through some persecution right now, but hang in there, because it'll be over. All right, let me, I probably pontificated a little bit too much today, but... All right.
Questions. Amen.
Questions, comments, snide remarks.
Yes. It's quiet today, pastors.
I got something.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, I'm going to have something.
Amen.
One thing I talking about Beyonce, Rihanna, and some of these other entertainers. I think some of the stuff that they talk about, them being part of the Illuminati, and of course, you know, folks who are in the Illuminati say the Illuminati doesn't exist. But my point is that, you know, there's a lot of secret societies out there, and they have been out there for hundreds of years. We could probably even say thousands, but, and a lot of Christians have, I will say, have fallen prey to some of these organizations, and not knowing a lot of the history of them. And I've always, you know, I remember as a kid, I forgot who said it about, you know, knowledge is clout or knowledge is power. And I'm always open to learning things so that I'm aware. It's not that I'm afraid that, you know, I'm gonna get sucked into it or whatever. But it's just that you're aware that these things do exist.
Thank you for joining us today on Encourt in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Unholy Trinity, The Second Beast. If you'd like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Unholy Trinity, The First Beast, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Unholy Trinity, The First Beast. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Unholy Trinity, The First Beast from our Bible Prophecy series. or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through yours and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Galais and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul...